So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Come on, sing that again. So remember your people, remember your children, remember your promise, oh God. Let's just put our hands on our heart this morning, and let's just pray that over our lives. God, we thank you, Jesus, that your grace is more than enough. God is sufficient, Jesus, to cover every transgression. God, to cover every sickness. God, your grace is more than enough. God, we thank you. We thank you, Lord. We thank you. We thank you, Lord. Your kind affection. hours again. And so I come into your chambers and I dance at your feet, Lord. You are my Savior and I'm at your mercy. And all that has been in my life until now, it belongs to you. It belongs, Lord. It belongs to you. It belongs. It belongs to you. I belong. I belong. I belong to you.
To receive all of the blessings and benefits that Christ has freely given, that God's freely given in communion. So, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for your broken body. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us your body, Lord, that you have allowed us, Lord, to commune and have common union with you, Lord. And so, Lord, we come with grateful hearts. We come with thankfulness, Lord, to your table today, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you were broken for us, Lord, so that we could be made whole. You were broken, Lord, so that we could be put back together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you chose to lay down your life, to not just lay down your life, but to be crucified, whipped, crown of thorns, your body beyond recognition. We thank you, Lord, for that. Thank you for the shedding of your blood, Lord. We thank you that your blood, Lord, eradicates and removes, Lord, any trace of our sins, Lord, from the record of the Father. We thank you, Lord, that your blood, Lord, gives us life. And we just receive that life today, Lord, as we take communion. We receive, Lord, the empowerment that brings into our life. The transformation of our DNA, Lord, that brings into our life, Lord. That we're not going to be the same, God, because of your sacrifice. And, Lord, what you've given us to remember that with, Lord. So we bless the Lord today. We bless, Lord, your communion table, God, and we take it with gratefulness and thankfulness of heart. Thank you, Jesus.
a crown and come in to kiss the feet of mercy. I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, church. Let's just lift up our hands to the Lord. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Yes, Jesus. Jesus, we worship you.
Holy Spirit was tugging at me during that last song. Melissa, if you could put that last song up where it says, I come into your chambers. And back in the day, the chambers were the place. That's where the king resided. That's where he was kind of comfortable on his throne. He was just, that was his recliner, if you will, but you were to be invited into his chambers. And then the Lord put on my heart Esther and how this girl came from nothing, from a nobody, to somebody that didn't have a mom or a dad, who was being raised by her cousin, to becoming the queen. Because that's what the Lord had chose. And I feel like some of you are discrediting yourself because you don't feel like you're worthy to come into the chambers, or you don't feel like where you are at in your life is somewhere that is a place to be invited in. Well, the Lord invited you in the moment he died on the cross. It doesn't matter where you're at. It doesn't matter what you're going through. It doesn't matter what you did 20 minutes before you walked through the doors.
you are invited. You are standing in his chambers at his feet, worshiping him. Father God, I pray that we will just catch that revelation, Father God, that we are in your chambers, Father God, that you loved us enough to die on the cross for us, Father God. No matter where we come from, Father God, no matter if we're a nobody, Father God, you make us a somebody, Lord. God, we just pray, Father God, I pray that, Father God, whoever that is, Father God, that is questioning who they are in you, Father God, I pray that your spirit will be so strong right now on them that it will just demolish the lies of the enemy, Father God.
Let's just sing that song again. Let's just sing that to the Lord. And holy, you are still holy. And even when the darkness surrounds my life, you are Lord sovereign. You are still sovereign. And even when confusion is blinding my eyes, and Lord, I don't deserve your kind affection. When my unbelief has kept me from your touch, I want my life to be a pure reflection of your love. And so I come into your chambers and I dance at your feet, Lord. You are my Savior and I'm at your mercy. your presence. God, we love your presence. God, we love your presence, Jesus. We glorify you, God. We worship you, Jesus. Father God, let your glory, God, just be established in our hearts. God, let your glory be established in our hearts, God. God, establish your glory, establish your love, God, in our spirits. Father, we love you, we love you, we love you, Lord. We love you, Lord. We love you, I believe. Jesus, you're all I need. For I believe that you're my healer, and I believe you. God is just giving us an invitation this morning just to allow him to be everything that we need, our portion, our everything, our strength. I literally, like, God just giving an invitation this morning, and he just wants us to take all of him. God, we want you, Jesus. God, we want you, God. God, we want your presence so much, Jesus. We want to know your power, God, in such a great way, Jesus. God, our hearts are to know you, Lord. Our hearts are to feel you, God. Our hearts are to be transformed by your love, God. And Lord, this morning, God, we just surrender our lives to you, Jesus. And we ask, God, that you would come and that you would truly just completely transform us, God. God, completely transform us into your image, God, into what you desire, God. God, I just pray right now, Father God, that your glory, God, would just be established in our hearts. Oh, Father God, we want to feel the breath of heaven, Jesus. We want to feel the breath, the wind of heaven, God, blow in our hearts. God, to blow in our hearts, Jesus, to blow in this place, Jesus. God, we don't want to be the same person, God. We don't want to be the same way, God. Lord, we desire your fullness, God. We desire your fullness, Jesus. Oh, God, we love you, Jesus. We love your presence. We love your presence, God. We love your presence, Jesus. Oh, God, change us, transform us, God. Renew our minds. God, renew our hearts, God. Renew our strength, God, in you, Father. What it's like to live, God, knowing that you are sovereign, knowing that you are faithful, God, knowing that you are our healer, God, knowing that you are our strength. God, show us what that looks like, Jesus. God, reveal to us what that looks like, Father.
wonderful God. A God that loves us more than we can even fathom. And what the Lord is showing me with this song is that He wants to do heart transplants. I worked on the cardiac unit at Regional, so I experienced a lot of that. The fear, the concern, the worry that this individual, your loved one, was maybe not going to make it through that procedure. And if they did, and when they did, the changes that were going to take place. A great deal of grace the Lord is pouring out right now. There's a great deal of grace and an anointing that's falling down. And there are four people that the Lord wants to do a heart transplant. He wants to completely change where you're at to where He wants you to be. He's already prepared the operating room. He's already chosen the nurses that He wants. Every physician, anything, every detail has been taken care of. But you have to say yes. You have to say yes. And two of you are just a little reluctant because you know the Lord's voice. You know that He's calling you forth. And so for you two, just go for it. But for the two of you that are just afraid, you don't know what the next step means, you doubt that you can continue with a different heart, just know that there's nothing but trust and love and grace and mercy and change that our Father has. He only loves us. And He wants more and more and more and more for us. So think and listen and obey if the Lord is saying, "You, my child, are the one that I have chosen this day. You, my child, are the one that I love so much this day that I'm asking you, offering you the chance to say yes." So I say, Jesus, thank you, Lord, that this day you have chosen to bless and to heal. And for the rest of us, grace is still falling. Anointing is still falling. Love is still falling. The Father never walks away without having touched us.
And Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, and every breath that I take, every moment I'm away, and have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul, I live for you alone, every
Let's just sing that one more time.
I don't know about you, but that's hard for me to sing because it's everything. Lord, I give you my heart. I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Well, for the grace to be able to sing that, and truly not just sing it with words that are on the screen, but from our hearts, that we yield every moment, every second to Him. I believe that's what God's leading us into. I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were sharing an experience that just out of the blue, somebody came at them, and they're like, I'm just out doing my own thing. And they started getting blamed for something that they weren't even involved in. And they just started getting attacked. And at first, you know, they tried to redirect and they tried to do everything in the natural to get this person to stop. Wouldn't stop. Finally ended up just having to leave. And after they left, they started thinking about, wait a minute, Jesus, how would you have handled that? How would you have returned that evil? Would you return evil for evil? No, you would have loved. And they told me that how, if they just started that incident off thinking of God, letting Him have His way, enjoying the day, but making sure that He was at the very center. And I believe that's where we need to head as the body of Christ, where everything that we do is centered in God. And you're saying, well, everything. You're going to do something with your family someplace. You're going to work. You're going to go work out. Let Him be the center. And I believe if we can get to this place where we are surrendering and yielding every moment, redeeming the time as these days are evil, I believe we're going to see His glory. How would that situation have turned out different? You never know. It's in the past. But can we grow and learn? Yeah, he grew and he learned from that incident. What incidents can you think of where you were having your way and he wasn't having his way? Have your way in us, Lord. Have your way in us, Lord. Have your way.
Have your way, oh Lord. I yield to you.
That simple. Just crying out. Burying your heart. Burying your soul. If you can't give it to him, at least bear it. Let him know the mess that you're in. He is so good about taking our messes and making miracles out of them. Taking our disasters and building places that he can inhabit. We just surrender to you today, Lord. We say, have your way. Have your way. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Would you take a moment, just greet someone, bless them. Give them a hug and extend the love of God to them.
Well, praise the Lord. Don't forget these. Oh, yeah.
This coming Friday will be 24/7 prayer. For those of you who don't know what 24/7 prayer is, there's a group of individuals who had it on their heart to see Yakima covered in prayer 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as a body of believers, as a church, we signed up for the first Friday of every month. So that's this coming Friday. So I encourage you, if you've signed up, if you have a time slot, please make sure that you're praying during that time. If you can't make that time, pray another hour some other time during the day. Or if you can't do that at all, as you're driving, make sure you're lifting up Yakima Valley in prayer. Amen? So here's some sheets if you need to know what the support scriptures are for this month. And on July 7th through 11th, we're going to have a vacation Bible school. Oh, yes. Well, sometime that week of July. We're still working out the final details, but it looks like most people signed up for evening. So it looks like we're going to shoot for evening. That way we can maximize the amount of workers and those who really have a heart for doing this. So I'm going to send around this sign-up sheet again. Now, if you've already signed up, you don't need to sign up again unless you just like to do that kind of stuff. So here we go. Praise the Lord. Will the children please come up? Praise the Lord. Hi, hon. Now that's somebody excited about children's church, right? Praise the Lord. Okay, looks like the girls are outnumbering the boys today, so seriously, so... Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your kids. Lord, we thank you, God, for their hearts. Thank you for their lives. Thank you, Lord, for the ones who teach them, Lord, and share, Lord, the love of God and the truths from your word, Lord. We pray a blessing upon the teachers. Father, we pray right now, God, that you would allow them to receive today everything that you have for them, that there would be nothing, Lord, that you give to them, Lord, that they don't receive, Lord. We pray right now that they'd realize that they're your kids and that they can be used by you for your glory in this day. So bless them now. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Praise the Lord. Well, last Sunday, Pastor Gay and I were out. We were having a bite to eat after church. And I had said something to her. And I was just making a comment because of us taking communion. And I was just explaining to her what I'd heard somebody say. And I thought to myself, when I took communion last week, and I, again today, of where I was taking communion from. And, you know, we think, well, you're taking communion in a building. But how many of you know, again, we're seated in heavenly places. We're not of this natural realm. We're of a supernatural realm. Even though we're here, we're also there. And so the question came to me is, where am I taking communion from? So I wanted to say, no, I'm going to take communion beyond the veil, in his very presence, where the one who supplied this for me is getting honor and praise, and I'm interchanging his life with my life. And so I told her, you know, where do we take communion from, which side of the veil? And she goes, she had this like this look in her eye, and I said, what? She says, oh my, do you get that? I said, no. I didn't get it, you did. So she tried to tell me a little bit. I said, it sounds like you need to preach. So here it is. Let me pray for you, hon.
Please do.
Father, I just thank you, Lord, for a servant of yours, Lord, that yields her heart, Lord, that does not, Lord, rely on her own understanding, Lord, but trusts in you in all her ways, Lord. And we know that you're going to guide and direct her steps, Lord, through this message, and we will be blessed because of it. I just ask right now, Lord, that the anointing, Lord, that is available as your servants, Lord, when we share as oracles of God, as voices of the Lord, Lord, that would be happening today through Gay, Lord, that you would allow her, Lord, to receive, Lord, the fire and the anointing of God in such a way, Lord, that we are changed, Lord, that we're not the same, that we receive your truth, God, with gladness. We embrace it, Lord, with obedience. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Good morning. I'm wondering if I can get a little bit of help. Sammy and Michael, could you both come help me? I've got a note card here that has lines on it, and I'm hoping that you guys take notes today, and the reason's because you can stick it in your Bible, and you, here's some more, gentlemen, and you can pull it out as you need it. As my husband was just saying, we'd gone to lunch really quickly last week. We had a really busy weekend, and as he was sharing about wanting to get beyond the veil, we had just been talking previously about marriage counseling, and we do marriage counseling for anybody that is getting married. It's almost a covenant in Yakima that you have to have 4 weeks of counseling before you get married, because we want you guys to, you know, we want everybody to get what they, you know, a good foundation, biblical foundation. And as he was sharing, my mind was thinking one thing as he was saying another thing. And I was thinking about my favorite part of marriage counseling is the subject of communication and how I love to teach about communication. That's my favorite topic. And as he was sharing about going beyond the veil, I started thinking about communication and how a lot of times communication is very poorly done. And so I'm hoping that you'll just give me a little bit of leeway to lay a bit of foundation for you and let you go on the journey that I went on last Sunday that seemed very fast, but it really was just so deep for me. And I hope that I can communicate that to you today. And it's amazing to me because as I was thinking this through this week and this last week or just yesterday, I'm like, Lord, this is nothing like what you gave me last week. It just doesn't feel the same. And just now, as my husband was praying for me and he started saying some of the things that we talked about last week, God clicked in me and I'm like, oh, yeah, thank you, Lord. He's just so faithful. So I had one of those aha moments. Do you know what I mean? It's like this revelation. It's almost like angels could have been singing. Oh, I mean, it was just so profound for me, and it was while he was talking about the veil, and I told him, I said, do you get that? Do you understand what you just said? And he's like, nope. And I'm like, okay. So, and I'm sharing with him, and he says, it sounds like you need to preach next week. And I'm like, no, that's not preaching. And he's like, oh, yes, it is. And so finally I said, okay, I'm going to try and communicate it and ask the Lord to help me. Okay, so I'm going to take you guys on a session of communication. And I'm just going to tell you kind of really quickly what I go over. And this is what I want you to write down. I want you to write down the numbers 1 through 5 on one side of your paper, and then out. From number one, this is the steps of communications or the level of communication. And this is communication in our world, okay? So the first level is called cliches. C-L-I-C-H-E-S with a little hyphen over the E. It's cliches. Okay, so cliches are this kind of communication. I'm going to give it to you. Ready? It's like, how you doing? I'm fine. Please pass the salt. Here you go. That's just minimal, no give, no take. It's just communicating on the very simplest form. There's nothing given, and there really is nothing taken in that. It's just cliches. That's it. The next level, level two, is facts, F-A-C-T-S, facts. And this is an example. Couple examples. Sure was hot today. Yep. The mail's on the counter in case you want to go through it. It's just facts. It's not anything that you give of yourself or anybody takes from you. It's just stating the obvious. Okay? This next level is level three. And I call this level the gate level. Now, I want you to get a picture in your mind of the ocean, the still ocean, calm ocean. And I want you to look at, as you're getting in the ocean, you're standing like about knee, maybe hip high water. And Michelle and Rosa, you little twerps, went to Hawaii, so they really can envision it right now. They know what that ocean feels like because they were in it. That is level one. And then as you get all the way out into the ocean and you're just at surface level with your chin, That's level two. Level three is the actual height of the ocean. So it's like just putting your face down in the water. That's level three. Now, let me just say, at this level of communication, this is where most people experience pain in communication. And let me tell you why. This level is called the opinion level, or the concerns level, or the expectations level. This is where someone gives something, and this is where someone takes something. So at the opinion level or the expectation level, I'm giving something. And if the person that I'm giving something to, my opinion or my expectation or my concern, at this point, they have the option to receive it, understand it, and acknowledge it or not. And most people, when they have poor communication skills, they communicate it like this. You never listen to me. That's an opinion. You're wrong and you know it. That's an opinion. And it's not what you say, it's how you say it. At this opinion level, most people get injured and they end up living back up in levels one and two, sometimes for their whole life. They never, ever really conquer number three, that gate, that sea level where they can look further down deep into the sea. They have so much pain there because someone has not appreciated their opinion, or they have hurt them in their opinion, that they never really get any deeper in their relationship with other people. This can happen in a marriage. This can happen at work. This can happen with friends. This can happen in any, between a parent and a child. It can happen in any relationship that we have. So the opinion level is where we need to conquer pretty much all of our relationships if we're going to have any meaningful communication, any meaningful relationship. If you can appreciate someone's opinion or appreciate their concern or acknowledge their expectation, then what you've done as a person is you've opened up the gate and you've allowed freedom to come in your relationship with whoever it is you're dealing with, so that you are free to go in between all the other levels of communication. Level four on your communication is sharing or having feelings. If someone has an opinion and their opinion is appreciated, then they're able and more comfortable to share their feelings. Let me give you an example of that. There's an atmosphere of honor in this level four of feelings. That is that the listener is trying to understand and actually validate what's being communicated to them. They may not understand it exactly, but they can appreciate why you say what you say. Okay, I'm going to give you an example. I was sharing with my husband, it's been many years ago, and I was sharing with him from my opinion about something that had happened. And it wasn't actually between him and I, it was between me and another person, and I'm unloading on him. I'm saying, blah, 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 blah. And this is what my husband says back to me. Honey, I don't know how you feel. You're a girl, I'm a guy. However, I can appreciate why you feel that way. I really can, coming from your standpoint, I appreciate that. What he did at that point was he gave me the freedom to be able to voice something to him. Even if he didn't understand it, he appreciated it, and he was able to validate why I felt that way. That is when I was able to express to him my feelings. And the next level is level five, and it's the deepest level. It's your needs or your desires. I desire to minister in some way, and he can appreciate it. I have these needs that I can only express to you this way, and he can understand it. See, it gives you freedom. Okay, so let's see. Level one, level two, level three is the gate, level four, level five. When we were talking last week, when I said to him, I said, honey, I said, you just said something when you said you want to be able to go beyond the veil, is I saw that level three of opinions, that with the Lord, Sometimes, you guys, we deal just on level one and level two. It's like, Lord, I need this. Lord, I want this. Lord, this. Lord, that. And we talk and we talk and we talk and we talk. But we never get beyond the veil because it's all about me and it's nothing about him. Good communication takes twice as much of one thing as it does the other. Twice as much listening as it does speaking. I heard somebody say something the other day. God gave us two ears and one mouth for a reason. Think about that. Is that not true? Two ears to hear. I mean, how funny would it look to have two mouths on the side of your head and an ear sitting in the middle of your face? That would look so ridiculous. He gave us two ears to hear. But guys, God speaks to us. And sometimes we do not even hear him. I'm going to give you guys a couple of scriptures, and then I want to go into three different levels, and those are called three different levels of listening. But the first scripture that the Lord really had me really, really read over and understand about this two ears, one mouth thing is this. It's Psalm 62:11, and it says, God has spoken once. Twice I have heard this. He spoke it once, but twice I've heard this. That power belongs to God. That's Psalm 62:11. That's two ears, one mouth scripture. He spoke once, and we should hear it twice. Is that not powerful to anybody else but me? I'm telling you, that was just so eye-opening to me the other day when I opened that up and read that, because it's like, Lord, sometimes I don't even listen once. I don't even hear it once. You may say it a million times, and I never hear it. But he's admonishing us, listen to what I'm saying. Oh, hey, listen to what I'm saying. Okay, the next scripture is Matthew 14:27, and this is just showing you that he speaks. It says, but immediately Jesus spoke to them saying, be of good cheer, it is I. Do not be afraid. Jesus speaks to us. He speaks to us all the time. We have the option to listen or not. Matthew 15:10, when he had called the multitude to himself, he said to them, hear and understand. Don't just let it be this wah, 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 wah. I saw a coffee cup one time, and I have a cousin, and her name is Linda, and she had a little doggy named Ginger. And their family, for Mother's Day one year, bought her a coffee cup, and this is what it said. From the dog's point of view, blah, 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 Ginger, blah, 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 Ginger, Ginger, blah, 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 blah. Like the dog only understands Ginger. It doesn't. And that's sometimes how I think that we hear God. Blah, 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 Galen, blah, 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 Galen, Galen, blah, 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 blah. It's like we do not stop long enough. We don't hear once, sometimes not even twice. God is trying to speak to us and we need to listen. And we're like, what does that sound like? What does God's voice sound like? Has anybody ever heard the audible voice of God? Anybody? Okay, Pastor, Rick, anybody else? Any other hands? Okay, but the majority of us, how many have not heard the audible voice of God? Audible. Speak your name, say a word, say a sentence. Okay, he doesn't talk audibly normally. Normally, it's a thought in our brain. It's a feeling in our heart. And then we're supposed to test that to make sure that that's him. Lord, give me confirmation that what I'm hearing is you. He will do that for us. He will speak to us, and he will confirm to us that what he is saying is what he has for us. Do you understand what I'm saying? We have had, in the past, we've had prophetic assemblies, and there's been several of us in this room that have been to them, and they've been ministers that are prophetic ministers that come in that know nothing about you, and they will speak over your life, and it will be almost like they went to your mailbox, opened your mail, and read all about you, like they know about you, and it's like there's no way they could know that about you. You know what I mean? This one time, we had this prophetic assembly, and this young mother was sitting with her husband, and they were speaking over her, and he's just like, I see spark plugs. I see spark plugs. I don't get it, but I see spark plugs. He had no idea that her nickname as a little girl from her dad was Sparky. All right, come on, people. It's like God will confirm to you in ways you least expect it that he loves you. He has a plan for you. He has a destiny for you that only he can give you. But he will speak it to you. He will speak it through his word. He will speak it in your heart. He will speak it even to your mind sometimes. He will speak it to another person to give to you. He will confirm his word if that is his word, and you will know that that's him. But a lot of times we are so busy with our lives, we do not listen to what he has to say. There are three levels of listening on your paper. 1, 2, 3. The first level is focused listening. Focused listening is communication that is only one-sided. That's when we come to the Lord in prayer and we're saying, Lord, I need this and I want this. And Lord, you, why did you do it that way? I wouldn't have done it that way. I didn't think you were going to do that. I didn't think you were going to make it work out that way. And it's all about us and it's not about him. It's called focused listening because it's focused inward on us. The second level, internal listening. I said that wrong. Number one is internal listening. It's an internal. It's about us. It's just about me. The second one is focused listening. Now, this is the kind of listening that you do with the Lord where you do it like this. You listen to him, not for an agenda and not so that you can get your word in edgewise. It's like, have you ever been in a conversation with somebody and you're really just listening until they get done or pause so that you can interject so that you can get your point across? Do you understand what I'm saying? Oh, come on. You guys know what I mean. They'll be talking to you and their mouth is moving, but you're really not hearing what they're saying because you can't wait for them to take a breath so you get your dig in. You know what I mean? That is not focused listening, that's internal listening because you're not really hearing them. But focused listening, that level two of listening, that's the kind about God, okay, this is how I see this working out. But honestly, Lord, I need you to open my heart that if this is not right, can you just speak it to me? Like you're willing to listen to him even if it's not really how you want to see that work out. Even if it's not the way that you planned it to be. When we were, oh boy, I don't even remember how long ago it was, honey, when we became children's pastors here. How many years ago was that? Like 14, 15 years ago? We were on a trip. We were in the car again, talking. That's when we do most of our talking, in the car. And we were on a trip, and I don't even remember there being any kids with us. And all of a sudden, and there was a desperate need in the house of God for children's pastors. I'm not a children's pastor. And he says to me, honey, I think we need to be the children's pastors. And I'm like, I'm not listening. I'm like, I did not want to hear that. I'm like, oh, no, God has so not called me to be a children's pastor. Forget it. And he said, baby, don't ever say never. And I'm like, I know for a fact that I am not a children's pastor. That just cannot be happening. And I was just, I know he talked for another hour, but I really didn't hear one word he said because I was so, honestly, I was so caught up in this argument inside myself. Lord, I do not want to be a children's pastor. And we get home from this trip, and I'm just for days mulling over, how could he even ask that? I don't want to be a children's pastor. And it's like the Lord interrupted all of my internal, and he said, you need to be the children's pastor. You need to. I know that that's not your heart, but if you will say yes to this, what I'm truly leading you into, I will give you the heart for it. And I'm not kidding you guys. When he said that to me, I went to my husband. I said, okay, we're supposed to be the children's pastors. And he goes, are you kidding? Like he was like all shocked, you know? And honestly, you guys, the grace that came over me, you would not believe it, because since then the grace is way left. But I just had this grace, and we were the children's pastors for over 3 solid years, and we did it alone. Like we had up to 50 kids in class sometimes, and we were the only 2 people in there. And it was like God just gave this grace, and it was wonderful, and it was great. But the minute that it left, It left. I did not have the grace any longer, but God will give you the grace, even if you, because I'm like, Lord, if this is what you want, change my heart. And he did. But it wasn't my agenda. It wasn't, and that's the listening that I'm talking about here. That's the focused listening where even though you don't want to really hear what he has to say, especially when it goes against your plan, you're still willing to do that. You're still willing to go with that. Okay, the third level of listening is sensitive listening. This is sharing thoughts and feelings of the other individual. This is knowing how they think, how they feel. It's the deepest level of listening. And you guys, you have to know somebody like that. You know. That's that knowing that goes off inside that you know what they're saying. You really know what, as you're listening to them, you really know what they mean. And you guys, you don't get that on the popcorn throw up a prayer thing. It's not like, oh, Lord, hey, love ya. Oh, Lord, hey, help me today. Oh, Lord, hey, thanks for being here. You know, it's not, you're not going to get that from that popcorn prayer thrown up. This comes from a level, this sensitive listening comes from a level, and this is a time thing. It's, you have to take time with God to get to this place. And let me just say, as we've gone over sonship and we've gone over that we're spiritual beings in these earthly bodies. And I mean, over the last few years, we've been discussing this in church and all of that. You guys, this is where God wants us to be. He wants us to know him so deeply, hear him so strongly, sense him so really, if that's even not really, but real, like it's so real that you just know it. That's where he wants us to be as a church. That's where he's calling us to be as a people. Okay, so this beyond the veil thing, when he was talking last week and we were sharing together, it's like when he said, I want to get beyond the veil, it was like going from this frivolous relationship with God to this depth of intimacy with God, and the veil that was torn from the bottom to the top, not the top to the bottom, bottom to top, right? Bottom to top. Top to bottom. Yeah, because normally it goes, yeah, right, top to bottom. The veil that was torn when Jesus was hung on the cross. Getting beyond that veil, that, you guys, that's the intimacy that he's calling us to. That's the depth of relationship and love and communication that he's calling us to as a people. And we can get it as you know, like families, we can get it. We can, like, you know, say the prayers with the kids, pray over every meal, you know, pray at night before they go to bed. But this is an individual thing. This is an individual thing that I'm doing, that he's doing, and then together it strengthens who we are as a family. Do you know what I mean? And God's calling us to that. And let me just say something. There's nothing you can give him that he doesn't already have. He doesn't really need you. And I know that sounds harsh, but he wants you desperately. He doesn't really need you, though. But he wants you so badly. He longs for you. And he wants that longing to be so deep in us where our hearts pant like the deer after him. Like, just cannot get enough of him. I need more of him. That's the kind of longing he wants us to have for him. This morning as I was praying and I was getting prepared for all of this, the Lord dropped this one statement into my heart. And I'm just like, thank you, God. This is just you. It's so you, because I don't think these things up on my own. There is nothing you can begrudgingly give to God that he can't get it lovingly from someone else. So I'm going to say it again in case anybody wants to write that one down, because that one's a keeper. There's nothing you can begrudgingly give to God that he cannot lovingly get from someone else. Like, if you're going to give your heart to God, if you're going to say, Lord, I'm going to communicate with you better, but you're just going to have to tie your hands together so you don't do anything else until you can get it done. He doesn't want it begrudgingly. He wants it lovingly. That this relationship with him is all about love. It's not legalism. It's not law. It's love. And I have said that until I'm blue in the face for 2 solid years, because that's what he's after. He's after our hearts. He's not after our steps and our being able to follow the rules. He would rather have your heart than anything else, because if he has your heart, all the other should have and should have, they'll come along. They'll happen if they need to. I remember my dad, before my dad became a Christian, my dad was, he smoked like a chimney and he drank like a fish, honestly. And my dad kept saying, because we girls as young teenagers started into church and there was no stopping us. I mean, we just went for the Lord, and our parents did not go to church. And my dad, right, because we went to Bible college even, imagine that, from an unsaved home, we went to Bible college as young women. And my dad kept saying, well, I'm not going to go to church until I can quit those bad habits. I'm not going to go to church until I can, you know, stop smoking and stop drinking. And I'm just, when I get that under my belt, I'll go to church. And someone said one day, Jesus catches fish first, then he cleans them. Don't try and clean yourself all the way up and follow every single rule there is to follow. Just fall at his feet and say, I can't do this by myself, God. This is really getting hard. Life has really gotten hard. I cannot do this alone. And when you fall at his feet, when you're down, it feels like the count. His grace is sufficient. His love is real. His mercy will be brand new for you today. And you can and will be able to do it. Humanly, no. With him, all things are possible. 2 ears, 1 mouth for a reason. Listen for him. He'll speak to you. Mm-hmm. There's just no condemnation, though. His spirit is convicting, but it's not condemning. And he will not condemn us. He will not say, okay, 50 lashes for you because you didn't hear me. He doesn't do that. The enemy would like us to believe that he would totally do that. But that's not God. That is not him. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in Christ Jesus, you're going to hear his voice, because it says, the sheep know my voice and they follow it. And let me just say, I've been at a time in my life where I'm like, Lord, I do not hear a word you're saying. I don't hear it. Ask him. He's not going to hold any good thing from you. He wants you to hear his voice. Did a new train track go in while we were in church? That was the Lord. The conductor has just spoken. That is so cool. That is so God. Yes, Pastor Josh? Say it. Yes. Dreams, exactly. Exactly. Exactly.
Ooh.
You need to come say this in the microphone so the internet can get it. Yes. Amen. On earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Amen. Okay, one more. Melissa. A mouth that closes for a reason, ears that don't. Very, very good. Okay, so you guys, I just want to say that the reason I feel that this message came is because God is, it's not like he's getting ready to speak to us because he's been speaking all along, but he's preparing us now to hear from him. He is preparing us to hear the deep things of God. It's not going to be the obvious. I don't believe that. Because his obvious is stated every day. In many ways, the word, the people, the pastor, obvious things. But the things he wants to speak to us are deep things, rich, building, deep things. And we have to be prepared to hear it. And if we are not, he will tell it to somebody else. And I don't want to miss it. I want to be the one he speaks to. I want to hear his voice. I don't want me to get in the way of him. Amen?
She says, I have more to add. Right. So, moving beyond the veil. The veil was a representation of not being able to go into the presence of God. It was reserved for only the priest who was going to go in one time a year at atonement and lay out the blood that was the sacrificed lamb on the mercy seat. And that veil being split in the temple in Jerusalem was a natural veil that split. In the heavens, there was a veil that split, and it gave us full access into this place where we can have intimacy, where we can have relationship, where our needs can be communicated. And guess what? His needs can be communicated. Now, Gay said, God doesn't need us. He doesn't need us. But his desire for us outweighs need so much. I mean, I need my wife, but my desire for my wife outweighs my need for her. Because my desire for her is based on love. Needs is based on just, I guess for lack of better term, it's based on basically mutual habitation. But desire for relationship is the key. So I just want all of us to just be really aware that the Father of lights, the Father of glory, heaven is resounding a sound. Children come, children dine, children feast. Come and let me hear your heart. Come and let me see where you're at. Just be fully transparent with God. Because he knows everything about you. I mean, it's not like you have to let him know who you are. It's not like you have to, give him some secret that he's not aware of. But you fessing up and saying, you know what? This is who I am. And you being honest and then realizing that there's nothing condemning, there's nothing judging about him except love. Well, I know that, child, but you know what? This is not how you're going to stay. You're going to become all that I've called you to be because I love you. But we can't move to that place unless we get beyond the veil, unless we're honest in our communication. How many have difficulty, really being honest with God? I think all of us. you know, all of us have things in our mind. Sometimes we're thinking, it's like, oh, I'm just dealing. And, you know, we don't let him know. But he wants us to. He wants us to be fully transparent. I'm trying to think. Full disclosure. That's the word. He wants full disclosure. No, you know, nooks and crannies that you're hiding in. Be totally open with God. And you know what? He'll receive what you're giving him, but then he takes what you give him and he transforms and changes you. I think all of us hear that voice, like you said, all the time, that we're no good, that we don't even, you know, deserve to even be a Christian because of all the things we've done, all the things we've thought, all the things we've said. And that voice that speaks there sometimes is so loud. And God's voice does sometimes seem like we're not even hearing it. But folks, it is there. All we have to do is quiet ourselves and get away from the noisy world. Because, you know, we can't have intimate communication in a noisy, crowded place. It just doesn't work. We've tried it before, you know. Like, Red Robin is not the place to go have intimate communication. Just the music itself, it's like, I can't hear you, what? You know, it's like, there's just, it takes a quiet place. It takes a place where there's going to be an ability to hear each other's hearts. So I think that's why God talked about having, what? A secret place. A closet. And yes, it's in secret so that others don't have to know about it, but it's also in secret because it's quiet. So I encourage you guys to develop intimacy with God. And it's not that hard. It just takes commitment. Amen? So stand. I guess I did have a little bit to add. Just a little bit. Thank you, Lord. Lord, we thank you, God, for your word. We thank you, Lord, that your word, God, is liberating. It's truth. It's reality, Lord. And we pray, God, that what was spoken here today by, Lord, your spirit, that it would bring change and transformation to our lives. Lord, we do. We want you to have your way in our lives. We want, Lord, our attention and our focus to be set on you 24/7. Even though that seems impossible, how could that possibly happen? Lord, we know what is impossible with man is totally possible with you. So, Lord, we surrender our lives to the possibilities of what you can do in us and through us. Lord, we want to know you and we want you to fully know us. And I just bless, Lord, your house, your people, Lord, our family right now, Lord, with a blessing, God, of hearing. A blessing, Lord, of letting their ears hear. Not just their natural ears, Lord, but their supernatural ears. Let their eyes see, Lord. Let their eyes, supernatural eyes, see, God, what you want them to see. See the glories of God, the kingdom of God. Lord, those invisible things that we're told to focus on, I pray that they would see. Lord, and that we would be people, God, of a supernatural realm and not just an earthly realm. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.